Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, Gavin Lux is back. The Dodgers win another game. Should MLB retire number 21? And Kenley Jansen discussion, as always. So that's what's coming up on Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez-Reen Fiends, finally back and for the first time in your face. Jeff, thanks for holding it down. The Dodgers won yesterday. They picked up a game on the Giants, and all is well right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I finally know what you look like, Vince. This is exciting.
Yeah, first time face reveal. I think that's what the kids call it on TikTok. So ready to go there. We are going to talk.
Wait, what do they call it?
A face reveal.
Face reveal, huh?
Yeah, it's when it's like if I had
you. Names for everything.
Yeah, if you were like my dad off camera and you were the joke, the butt of a lot of jokes, and then like, oh, face reveal, here's what my dad looks like.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about Gavin Lux, who has done very well since coming back from the minors. We're going to talk about instant replay, retiring the number 21, Kenley Jansen, and just a little bit on the Dodgers-Giants NL West battle. But before all that, a quick reminder, subscribe or follow Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. And to make sure to tell your smart device to play Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff, let's get into it. Let's start off with Gavin Lux. Gavin Lux had a couple hits, couple RBI hits, and has been on fire since he came back from AAA. I had joked with people not online, just offline. There's a picture of Gavin Lux and Zach Rex that the OKC Dodgers had posted a couple weeks ago when Lux was over there. And he looked miserable, and Zach Rex looked really happy. So I was like, yeah, Gavin Lux does not want to be in Oklahoma City right now. And he's really proven that with the way he's been at the plate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was a necessary evil. He needed to go down there. He needed to be getting playing time because we had all forgotten he was still on the major league roster until he pinch hit in like the 94th inning of that one game. He needed to be getting at bats because you're not going to remember how to hit unless you're getting regular playing time. So it made sense for him to go down. Bad luck for AJ Pollock that he got hurt, but it created an opportunity for Gavin Lux, I guess. AJ Pollock and Chris Taylor both being kind of dinged up, created this opportunity for Gavin Lux. And it's only been six games now, but he's looked pretty darn good in most of those games. It's been really good. And, you know, the one thing we've always really known about Gavin Lux is he can hit. It's just a matter of doing it consistently. And I'm happy to have him back in the big leagues and happy that whatever he did in AAA kind of got his swing back because he's being aggressive. He's hitting the ball hard. Obviously his speed is a difference maker. And all in all, it's been nice to have somebody filling in left field who actually puts the bat on the ball, because that hasn't always been the case this season.
It's been a big boost to the bottom of the lineup. I think that's the biggest part of it too. The Dodgers bottom of the lineup with Cody Bellinger still being in there when people were hurt, with Austin Barnes in there occasionally, with Billy McKinney and Steven Souza Jr. getting at bats here and there. The bottom of the lineup had become a little bit black hole, especially since the Dodgers pitchers also stopped hitting. You know, Walker Buehler and Julio were hitting the ball earlier in the year, not so much now. So I think that's a big boost. You know, his defense out there in left field, not the greatest so far, but he's done capably, and you know, he's working on his communication, as Dave Roberts said, after almost crashing with Cody Bellinger the other night. So it's something that the Dodgers needed, because their offense had been struggling, and it's probably more coincidence than anything, but the offense has been on fire the last few days. Obviously, they're playing the D-backs, but it's not like they were getting shut down by world beaters even before then. So with him there in the bottom of the lineup providing a spark, you know, two RBI hits last night and a few hits here along the way, scored from first the other night on that one, you know, been getting on base. I think that's the biggest part, because if the bottom of the order is getting on base, then you're getting Mookie Betts and Max Muncy and Trey Turner runners on base, which is also the other part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I did talk a little bit about this a day or two ago, the length that the lineup has when Bellinger and Lux are both at least not automatic outs. You know, Bellinger, he's still not getting a ton of hits, but he's putting the bat on the ball, if nothing else. You know, he had in this game on Wednesday night, he had a hit, he had an RBI ground out, he had a walk. You know, it looked like a Major League Baseball player playing. And you know, that hasn't always been the case with Bellinger this year. And so that length in that lineup, like you said, turning over the lineup, getting it to Mookie Betts with runners on base, it's a big deal. And, you know, sometimes it's just Lux says, you know, I'm just going to drive these guys in instead.
Yeah, and that's going to work out perfectly fine. The other thing that happened in the game, Max Muncy got on base, stole second, ended up getting hurt a little bit. They called it a contusion. He stayed in the game. The other part was just what we've seen a lot with instant replay. He was called safe initially. Instant replay ended up calling him out. By the time his front foot went off the bag, and by the time his back foot touched the bag, there was a little bit of space there. The guy had the tag on him. He was out. Other than that, I don't want Max Muncy stealing bases anymore if that's how he's going to slide. Should the instant replay be tweaked? I'm not sure we've ever really talked about this specifically, or at least if we have, it's been a while. But it's one of those where it's not really the spirit of what it was meant to be for instant replay, but it's kind of become the biggest thing that's emerged from instant replay.
Yeah, for me, the big problem is the way Major League Baseball implemented instant replay. They basically just copied the NFL system, which, you know, if there is one thing everybody in the world agreed with before MLB implemented instant replay, it was that the NFL's replay system sucked. And MLB said, okay, we'll just copy that. You know, like relying on manager challenges, it's ridiculous to me. And what they ought to do is just have a fifth umpire in every crew. It creates more umpire jobs. Call up some guys from the minor leagues, umpires, and have a fifth guy. So instead of rotating the four bases, you rotate the four bases, and then the fifth game, you are in the video room. And have an umpire whose job it is to watch the game. Do right now, both every team has a video guy who's watching and quickly rewinding. Oh, did they get this call wrong? Have that be an umpire doing that instead. And because most of the time, like there was one a night or two ago that it was one that on the first replay we could see, yep, umpires missed that call. And then in real time, it was then after we saw that they missed the call, then the camera changes to the D-backs bench coach on the phone and him saying, let's review. And then the manager saying, let's review. And then the umpires waddling over to the and putting on headphones and getting the word from New York. And it was a super quick replay review, but just all the time in between, it was still over a minute from the time that we all knew that they had missed the call to when they said, yeah, we missed the call. And if you had instead a fifth umpire, he could say, you know, oh yeah, we missed that. Hit a little speaker to the crew chief. Hey, you missed that call. Change it. Boom, change it. And so A, it would be quicker. B, they would get more calls right. And C, they could say, you know what? We're going to choose not to enforce this rule. I don't think you need to change the rule. You know, Oral Hershiser was talking during the game, and I understand the sentiment. He said that they should change the rule so that as long as you're not trying to go to the next base, once you're safe, you're safe. I don't think you need to change the rule because, I mean, honestly, I don't think it's that big a problem that guys who get tagged while they're not on the base are being called out. But if they decide, you know what, this isn't the spirit of replay, okay, if you have the fifth umpire doing it, we just won't make that call. We won't change calls like that. And easy peasy. So everything about the system would be better if they just do it the way I said, hashtag Jeff for commissioner.
That would make it everything a lot easier, although, you know, with MLB, they probably don't usually like making things easier. The other part is, you know, I kind of like just having the coach decide when to, but I would prefer it also without, you know, having a video coordinator, waiting for your video coordinator to do it. Just, hey, real quick, instant time, same thing as umpire. You had instant time to look at it. Do you want to review it or not and go forward from it? And also just getting rid of you know, have someone look at it without knowing what was called, and then they can decide from there what the outcome is.
Yeah, and I'd rather just have them get more calls right.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. MLB, well, there'll probably be something in between what we just talked about. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about Kenley Jansen and maybe a couple guys, other guys from the bullpen. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Does this sound familiar? You've got a device that lets you watch the game live, which is probably the Dodgers. Another one that lets you stream your favorite shows, Maybe somebody else in the room is watching those. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, catching up on the Giants, see where they're at, and you got your neighbor's best friends log in for all the other good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, Jeff, let's talk about Kenley Jansen. And not in the way we usually talk about Kenley Jansen. He didn't have a bad outing. He didn't have necessarily, I mean, not an impressive outing. It was just a normal outing. And maybe at this point, with the way Jansen's been going, normal outings are the norm now.
Yeah, it's a, I mean, he has been on fire the last 6 weeks or so. Basically, on August 4th, he gave up 2 runs to the Astros. Since then, he's thrown 20 innings, allowed 1 earned run. That's a 0.45 ERA. And it's not luck. He's only allowed 11 base runners in that time. 6 of them were walks. So that it's not like the control issues have been totally resolved. But even that is better than it was early in the season. And, you know, if he's not giving up any hits, I'll take the occasional walk. And what we saw on Wednesday night, he just struck out the side. And, you know, we always knew, even when we talked about, okay, Kenley shouldn't pitch on back-to-back days, I think we always knew it wasn't that simple, because the fact is sometimes on back-to-back days he was okay. And so that was like, it was the easiest thing we could identify. But that wasn't everything. And I think we knew that. And what we've seen lately is that's definitely not it. So whether he actually figured something out about how to pitch on back-to-back days, or he just figured something out in general, or, you know, Roberts and the pitching coach staff have figured out, you know, what they need to do with Jansen to get him to be able to pitch on back-to-back days. But his last 5 outings, 3 of them were after he had just pitched the day before, because he pitched 3 days in a row, and then he had a couple days off for the birth of his baby, and now 2 days in a row. And he's looked great all 5 outings. And so it's like, we don't know the answer, except that right now, Kenley Jansen is a really, really good pitcher. And if he can remain really, really good for the next 6 weeks too, or 7 weeks, that would be awesome. Because, you know, I talked yesterday a little bit about this bullpen and how dominant it can be. And Kenley Jansen is a big part of that. If he can be dominant, it just makes the Dodgers so much better in October.
We've known this all along. Dave Roberts has mentioned it a lot of times. When Kenley's right, the Dodgers are right. And honestly, that's true, because Jansen is one of those guys right now, when he's not well, pitching well, he doesn't really serve a purpose in the entire bullpen other than maybe mop-up duty. But when he's working well, that allows Trinan to be the eighth inning guy that pushes everyone back. You know, the emergence of Joseph Kelly and now Alex Vesia, and then, you know, Phil Bickford gets pushed back, who we'll talk about right now in a second. But with him going right, it just sets everything else up for the Dodgers so great. And, you know, with the playoffs coming up, it's a good sign that Jansen can be used on back-to-back days, whether it's he found something in his mechanics, which is, you know, always been an issue here the last few years, and things of that nature. And then, you know, I think the other part too, and there was an article, I don't know if we touched on it or you touched on it over here the last few days, but Kenley Jansen went to a therapist over the offseason. He didn't use the team one. He found his own. He realized he needed it, you know, after not being out there for the last out of the 2020 World Series. That was kind of one of the big pushers of why he did it. Obviously been struggling the last couple of years, getting booed a few times from the fans, even getting booed earlier this year. And I think that's another part of it, is he's working mentally and physically now, and it's all starting to come together, and we're starting to see, you know what, Jansen's still capable of, even though with a little bit diminished velocity sometimes, even with having issues finding the strike zone sometimes, he's starting to pitch like we know that Kenley Jansen can pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think we have talked specifically about him going to therapy, but I'm sure they're related. I just don't know how they're related. But the fact is, he's been more open to mixing up his arsenal, you know, throwing different pitches in different situations. And I think that's related to recognizing a need for things in his personal life, you know, like, whatever it is, it's caused kind of an awakening in him. And, obviously it hasn't been seamless because he's had some bumps in the road this year. But the fact is, what we saw on Wednesday night was kind of a perfect encapsulation of what Kenley Jansen has become, because, you know, he's throwing cutters, he's throwing two seamers, he's throwing that slider, you know, doubling up on that slider. And just, you never would have seen Kenley throw two sliders in a row in previous years. He would use it once in a while, and it was good. It was a valuable pitch because it would keep people off balance, not being able to sit on the cutter. But now it's actually one of his pitches, you know, and that two-seamer is one of his pitches. He's not a guy who throws a cutter and occasionally mixes in a slider. He's a guy with three pitches, and that's a totally different thing for Kenley. And, you know, when you think about it, it makes sense that there would be bumps in the road when you're going from being a one-pitch pitcher to being a three-pitch pitcher. Of course, there's going to be bumps in the road, but, you know, he's handled them pretty darn well, and especially that's what gives me hope that what we've seen these last 6 weeks is actually what we can expect from Kenley, because if that's the case, that would be awesome.
And what we're seeing, like you said, is a three-pitch pitcher. Kenley Jansen, for the most part, wasn't a guy that got a lot of strikeouts looking. It was a lot of swinging, balls running away from batters, or ball coming into batters with the cutter. He's had a few times in the last few weeks where he's had guys frozen for strike three or even just for strike one, mixing in those different pitches like you mentioned. So it's something that he's growing as a pitcher. He's growing as, you know, a closer. He's growing as a person, and it's all starting to come together at the perfect time for the Dodgers. So I'm glad to see it. We're going to move on now to someone who's maybe struggling a little bit in a different way, Phil Bickford, who's been the guy for the Dodgers pretty much all year long. Dave Roberts has called him into a variety of situations, a variety of different innings. He's been a fireman to put out, you know, bases loaded, one out situations. He's come in and been the seventh inning guy. But he's falling a little bit home run happy here the last few appearances. I think he's given up a home run in four of his last eight appearances. And it's a little bit of cause for concern, but he's, you know, solo home runs are going to happen. There's been relievers that have gotten away with it. And, you know, maybe the Dodgers just pick their spots a little differently here in the next few weeks. But he's not pitching really any different, so it might be people starting to adjust to how he throws.
Yeah, it could be adjustments. It could just be bad luck. And like you said, solo home runs are, and obviously they're still home runs. You still get a run for those. But the key is to not put guys on base ahead of when you give up home runs. You know, because if the Dodgers offense is really back, the pitching staff can afford to give up an occasional solo home run. But yeah, obviously, you know, Phil Bickford is at his best when he's not allowing home runs. It's, you know, a home run. Yeah. The only way teams are going to score off Phil Bickford right now is if he allows a home run. And so in a way, that's a really good thing, that if he can identify what the issue is. I mean, what happened on Wednesday was it was just that fastball just leaked over the plate. You know, he didn't hit his spot, and pitchers don't hit their spots a lot. I know I harp on this a lot on this show, but pitchers don't hit their spots a lot, and they don't always get hit over the fence. Sometimes they get swung and missed at. You know, we've seen that many, many times. You know, and you notice it when it's your team on offense, and you're like, how did you swing and miss that pitch right down the middle? You know, pitcher misses a spot and you don't hit it over the wall. And sometimes they do. And so that's why I'm inclined to feel like this is maybe just bad luck for Phil Bickford, that, you know, his mistakes, his missed spots happen to be getting hit over the wall more often. And if that's the case, then that's probably going to even out. But, you know, if not, it is something he needs to identify. And obviously the main answer is hit your spots better, you know, so then you don't have to worry about guys taking advantage of your mistakes or not. Just don't make as many mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's we knew he wasn't going to be a guy that throws a scoreless outing every single time. Starting to catch up to him a little bit. He'll figure it out. I still think the way he's throwing, the way he pitches, like I said, avoiding getting other guys on base. He doesn't walk a lot of guys, doesn't give up a lot of hits other than the home runs he's been here giving up the last few weeks. So he'll be fine. The Dodgers bullpen will keep chugging along, and you know, they're going to go into October looking pretty strong. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about the Giants-Dodgers at the top of the NL West, and then get into a discussion on the number 21 in baseball on the day of Roberto Clemente Day. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. From baseball, football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. This episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. RockAuto.com. Save time and money when you use RockAuto.com. Why would you want to spend up to 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Deal with people that, you know, let's just face it, dealing with people is not as fun as being online shopping. That's why online shopping has shot up here the last few years. And Rock Auto is a family business that's been serving people online for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer, not like those stores, which charge less to those that are mechanics or maybe work at a dealership. And they have everything you can need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. RockAuto.com has an easy-to-use website. You should head there today to find the solution for all your auto part needs. So head to rockauto.com, see all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, Jeff, the Dodgers finally gained a game on the Giants. The Padres handled them, not without some sweating, but the Padres did a good job and won. Dodgers are now 1.5 games back. That half game will be made up on Thursday as the Giants play. The Dodgers do not. Realistically, it's probably going to be 2 games, but, you know, the Padres might pull something and end up helping out the Dodgers again. But just the top of the NL West, the only 2 teams that have clinched a playoff spot, the Dodgers and the Giants, both teams around hovering around 40 games over 500. Clearly both the best teams in baseball. And honestly, just, you know, been juggernauts here. The Dodgers, I believe, heading into tonight's game had gone like 39-10 the last whatever games that adds up to, and the Giants had been 39-11. So they've both been on fire for a long time now, and hopefully it's leading to a collision course in the NLDS. But hopefully that's with the Dodgers waiting for the Giants to win the wild card game.
So are we just going to pretend that you just struggled with 39 plus 10?
Yes.
All right, cool. Yeah, you know, the Giants, they're really good. And it was almost a surprise. The Padres are up 7-5, and it was during the ninth inning. So I think most of us, you were at the game. I don't know if you had the Giants-Padres game up on your phone.
Yeah, I had it on.
Yeah, and you know, I was watching the Dodgers game on my TV and the Giants on my phone. And they had first and second, nobody out, down by 2. And you're like, oh, here it comes. And then Emilio Pagan got 2 pop-ups and whatever the third out was, you know, and it's like, wow, things didn't go exactly right for the Giants. Like, and you know, I'm sure that's not accurate. I'm sure that's how it seems to us, but you know, Giants have had injuries too this year. It's not just devil magic, but there's definitely some devil magic. And it was a relief and a surprise to see the Giants just be a regular team that got down and didn't come back and win. And, I could go for more of that.
Definitely go for more of that. They got the Padres one more time. This weekend, they got the Braves, who are currently in first place, but have also been struggling, although none of the teams below them have really made them push for it. Either way, the Braves need to win. The Dodgers are playing the Reds, who also need to win, but I believe the Dodgers are a significantly better team than the Reds, so shouldn't matter too much. But either way, like I said, it's just one of those where if the Giants had pulled that game out last night, it seemed a little bit more of, okay, it's inevitable that they're probably going to end up winning the division. The Dodgers are going to end up playing a team that they finished 15 to 20 games ahead of in a wild card game. And even if it all should work out for the Dodgers on paper, it's still scary having it all come down to just one game, because the depth the Dodgers have doesn't necessarily help them out too much in a one-game playoff.
Yeah, for sure. And the fact is, the Dodgers are going to have to beat a lot of teams to win the World Series this year. And, you know, if they have to beat one of them in a one-game series, so be it. Obviously, hopefully they don't have to play a one game series just because anything can happen. But the Dodgers have either Buehler or Scherzer going in that game. They're going to be favored. They're going to be going against a team that's not as good as them with one of the best, either the guy who wins the Cy Young Award or the guy who finishes like third in the Cy Young Award voting going in that game. And so, you know, they're going to win the wild card game if they're in it. But obviously, we'd rather have them not be in it, even if just so that they can have home field advantage in the division series. But it would be really nice if the Padres can pull through one more time and the Dodgers can go into the weekend only down by a game, because that is really doable.
That would be very ideal. All right, let's move on to our last topic. You saw a few Dodger players wearing the number 21 yesterday that aren't normally the number 21. Albert Pujols, Justin Turner, and there was one more, I believe. Oh, Max Scherzer all wore 21.
I think Kershaw was too.
Yeah, and Clayton Kershaw. All guys that have previously won the Roberto Clemente Award, whether for their team or for the entire league. And it's a discussion that has happened a lot here, especially here in the last few years, kind of a social media campaign of sorts with the hashtag Retire21. They've made Roberto Clemente Day every day, September 15th now. It was kind of a fluctuating day, now it's a for sure every day. The Pirates all wear number 21. At this point, anyone can request to wear number 21. So far, it's been mostly the Puerto Rican players or players that have won the Roberto Clemente Award before. But yeah, Jeff, I mean, retiring a whole number across, obviously Jackie Robinson has it. He broke color barrier, has a big impact. But, you know, for when it comes to Latino players in an almost Latino dominant sport right now, retiring 21 just kind of makes sense to me a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, this is something, it's funny, even though we're a Dodgers podcast, you and I both have pretty strong connections to Roberto Clemente. He was your dad's favorite player. The first book I ever read of any, you know, other than like little chapter books, but the first book that was more than 50 pages that I ever read was a biography of Roberto Clemente. And it was, I don't know if it was written for kids. It was only about 200 pages, but it was the first book I read, and it, you know, it helped develop my love of baseball and obviously shaped my love of Roberto Clemente. He was just an outstanding player, obviously an outstanding person. And, the whole him being, one of the first Latin American baseball players in the Hall of Fame, obviously the way he died and the circumstances of that, he was still an active player. He had just gotten his 3,000th career hit at the end of the 1972 season. And then he was on a humanitarian trip and his plane crashed and he died. Like he was only, I think, 37 years old. He probably would have been one of those guys who he probably would have finished his career with 3,700 hits or something, would have been, you know, like third or fourth all time in hits. Plus he was a great defender. So like on the field and off the field, it's hard to argue against Roberto Clemente being one of a kind. And for me, that's kind of what it boils down to, is Jackie Robinson's number is retired because he was one of a kind. He was the person, some of that was circumstantial, luck of the draw. You know, it was because Branch Rickey chose him to be the guy to break the color barrier, but he chose him for a reason. You know, that Jackie Robinson was picked for a reason. It wasn't luck. It was, this is a guy who it should be him. And, Roberto Clemente was a different situation. Didn't face quite what Jackie Robinson faced, but, you know, having that language barrier and everything, that things that, you know, people like me and even you, just growing up in the United States with English as our first language, you know, you don't even think about how hard that would be to be playing in a different country with a language you barely know, and going out and doing what he did. And I honestly believe if it wasn't for Roberto Clemente, a lot of Latin American baseball players wouldn't have followed that dream, you know, and whether it was teams wouldn't have invested as heavily in Latin America, plus the players wouldn't have, you know, so we might not have a Yadier Molina and a Fernando Tatis Jr., you know, all these guys who, and like you said, it's kind of Latino dominated right now. Vlad Guerrero Jr., another, his dad came from the Dominican Republic, you know, his dad and his uncle, Wilton Guerrero, you know, like that was because Wilton Guerrero was there because the Dodgers invested heavily in the Dominican Republic, partly because of Roberto Clemente. So when you look at what he put into action, not on purpose and not, you know, as a grand thing, but just because of who he was and how he played and who he was as a person, I think, right now it's pretty special that 42 is the only number that's retired around baseball. And I wouldn't want there to be very many more, but I think there's room for one more.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is you know, probably why it's been avoided so far is you get into maybe a slippery slope situation. But like you said, it's one of those where, you know, who else could it be? Like, there's really not that many players these days that are going to do anything, you know, remarkably enough to get their number retired. And there really hasn't really been anyone clamoring for anyone other than Roberto's 21 to be retired. So it's one of those where it's the right time, right, you know, right person, right everything. And it's funny because, you know, the parallel between Jackie and Roberto is Jackie was, you know, Branch Rickey said that he was kind of handpicked because of how he knew he wouldn't react to certain things, wouldn't, you know, be not submissive, but just, you know, be dominant in a different way. Whereas Roberto was outspoken, was the guy that, you know, demanding the extra car or demanding a car for the Black and Latino players to be able to drive and get food at places that were serving them instead of waiting on the team bus while all the white players ate at the whites only restaurants. You know, he was the one out there not wanting the media to change his name to Bob from Roberto. You know, he was out there doing interviews in Spanish and English. He was one of those guys that just said everything for it. And the more you look into him, the more you think, man, this number does really need to be retired. And I think that's kind of where I'm at right now. I've obviously, you know who he is. I know who he was as a player, but just kind of breaking down into everything else that I just mentioned. And there's a lot, countless more things that he did just off the field. I think it's one of those where, and you see that, you know, the Yadier Molina has been very outspoken about it. Kike Hernandez was outspoken about it last year when everyone wore 21 on the Dodgers. And it's just one of those things where it makes sense. And I'm not sure, you know, what exactly they would be waiting for, or what exactly the hesitancy is. You know, there's obviously a lot of players that wear 21, and it would be kind of how 42 was, where they'll get to wear it till they stop playing. And then after that, it'll be retired for whatever team it is.
Yep. Yeah. Jackie Robinson was the right guy at the right time. And Roberto Clemente was the right guy to kind of take up that mantle and take the next step for sure.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. I mean, we're both in agreement there, which happens a lot on this, but I think it's a good agreement there. You got anything else before we head out? I think I got one thing, but we'll save it for tomorrow's episode.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. We do have an off day tomorrow. We're going to be doing a Spotify green room. And because we're doing this on YouTube now, and there's no real way to integrate the green room with the YouTube, so we'll be doing a green room that won't be part of an episode. So if you want to hear what we have to talk about on green room, you're going to have to show up there. What time are we going to do that, Vince?
Yeah, let's I don't know, shoot for the middle of the day. If you're open, I'm open.
Yeah, we'll do it midday. We'll tweet out the time exactly. And yeah, so join us there. And then obviously then we'll have another episode for you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we got a few good things to talk about here. Big series coming up this weekend, and a couple other things that we maybe missed out on here the last few days. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow or subscribe Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts, or now on YouTube, and see our faces. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Make sure to follow Jeff on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. You can DM us on any of those accounts for any questions, comments, or concerns. You can also send them via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. Or you can send us a text or leave us a voicemail at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.